And so, in fact, the real question is not why is the universe accelerating? The real question is why is the universe not accelerating way, 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 way faster? This is the biggest discrepancy in the whole history of science. This is the biggest discrepancy in the whole history of humanity. On our everyday life, on our every second life, we are using our understanding of gravity and our understanding of how the curvature of gravity is affecting the connection of different points in space and time together. Now, if we're needing to have this precision in understanding of the curvature of space-time, this level of precision in understanding of gravity for us to enable to find our place right here, right now on Earth, just imagine the level of precision that we need to have to better understand where we are in our universe and where our universe is going. And so if we want to imagine the whole universe in its largest possible scales, for that we need to zoom out of the solar system, zoom out of the galaxy, zoom out of clusters of galaxies, up to distances which are hundreds of thousands of kilometers apart. And on those distances, we see that the clusters of galaxies, in which our galaxies are, in which our stars are, they are confined, they are embedded within filaments, which are embedded within clusters of dark matter, which is represented here in blue. This is just an animation. These are fake color. We don't see dark matter, but we have a very strong indication of its existence from its gravitational attraction that it has on everything else around us and from where the clusters of galaxies are confined. Now, if we look at the universe on those large scales, we already have indications that things are behaving in quite interesting ways. For one thing, if we look at different objects in the sky, the further away we look and the faster these objects seem to be moving away from us. And that doesn't mean that we're living in a particular place in the universe. It doesn't mean that we are at the center of our universe and everybody wants to get away from us. What it means, in fact, is that space between any two points in the universe is being stretched. We are living in an expanding universe. So if you imagine two galaxies or two clusters of galaxies, space between them is being stretched. And the further away two objects are, the more space there is between them and more stretching there are between them, and therefore the fastest objects seem to be moving away from one another. This is our understanding of the expansion of the universe. Nowadays, we have a wealth of data that all converge to the same fact that the universe is expanding. There's no debate about that. But one thing we know about gravity is that it's an attractive phenomenon. So even though the universe may have started with a big bang and an expansion of the universe, one would have expected that the gravitational pull that there is between all of the masses being present in the universe, all of those clusters of galaxies and filaments of dark matter would have led to a slowdown of the expansion of the universe. What we could have expected is as the universe evolves, its expansion slowed down, even possibly to the point where the expansion would have stopped and the universe would have started contracting and maybe even disappear into a big crunch. But in fact, what has been observed for the past 25 years is precisely the opposite. The expansion of the universe is not slowing down, it's going faster and faster at an accelerated rate. And so not only we have a dark universe in the sense that it has to be filled with dark matter, which is another sector of matter with which we communicate gravitationally, we feel its gravitational pull, we have strong indications of that. But to explain the accelerated expansion of the universe, we need some other kind of energy present in the universe, which we, for now, will call dark energy. Now, calling this source behind the accelerated expansion of the universe as dark energy make it sound very, very mysterious. But in fact, we have a very natural candidate for what dark energy is, which is nothing other than a cosmological constant, first introduced by Einstein himself. And Einstein himself introduced a cosmological constant. At the time, he introduced it perhaps for the wrong reasons, but that doesn't matter. It's just to say that the cosmological constant is a very natural consideration, and a very natural element that be considered alongside with Einstein's theory of general relativity. In fact, nowadays, we have a very natural candidate for this cosmological constant, which is the energy of the vacuum. And since we are living in the year of the quantum, it's 100 years of quantum mechanics this year, this is actually, let me say, as far as it's the energy of the quantum vacuum. What I mean by that is out of nothingness, everywhere in the universe, it can be here, it can be in the middle of nowhere, we would expect nothingness, emptiness, to be filled with a quantum energy, an energy of the quantum particles that we know exist. And that is something that I haven't just made up. This is something that physicists have known should be present for more than 100 years. In particular, if I consider this picture of the universe, where it appears that most of the energy present in this picture is confined along those filaments of dark matter and clusters of galaxies. If I were to zoom into a completely empty region of the universe, let me call this a cosmic void, let me just zoom into one of these completely empty regions of the universe, those cosmic voids are hundreds of thousands of millions of kilometers long. It would take you millions of light years, it would take you millions of years to communicate with the closest star. In this middle of the cosmic void, there's absolutely nothing. There's no dark matter. There's no ordinary matter. There is no black hole. There's absolutely no nothing. And yet, if you were to zoom in the middle of this cosmic void, like you would do anywhere in the universe, you would see that they're not completely empty. They're still bubbling in and out of existence, quantum fluctuations that make all of nothingness. All of the universe is filled with a vacuum energy. And because everything has an effect on gravity, we would have expected that this quantum vacuum energy should also have an effect on gravity. Really, what I mean by that is that this quantum vacuum energy should really have an effect on the geometry of the universe, on the curvature of the universe through gravity. So what does it mean for this quantum vacuum energy to affect the universe, to affect the curvature of the universe? We have this picture in mind where I have a localized mass, for instance, a planet, and locally it creates curvature around it. And so we just feel the local curvature around the Earth, and if we're very far away, we wouldn't feel anything at all. But when it comes to this quantum vacuum energy, its effect is quite different. It's not just localized at one point in space. It's not even just localized at one point in time. It's present everywhere, all the time, since the birth of the universe, so for the whole history of the universe, absolutely everywhere. In here, in the sun, in a black hole, in the middle of nothingness, in the middle of a cosmic void, uniformly everywhere in the universe, constantly, we are filled with this quantum vacuum energy. And so it's so constant, we can call it a cosmological constant. And Einstein knows precisely what a cosmological constant would give us. If you consider this quantum vacuum energy and associate it to Einstein's theory of general relativity, it does, in fact, lead to an accelerated expansion of the universe. The effect on space-time is quite different as compared to what a localized massive object would be. So this is the good news. In principle, we have two of the foundational pillars of modern physics. On one side, we have Einstein's theory of general relativity, which is the best tested theory there ever were. On the other side, there is the quantum framework, quantum mechanics, quantum field theory, to which we are celebrating now the 100-year anniversary. Both of those theories have been in impeccable agreement with our experiments and observations. And we put them both together, and what they lead is precisely to the prediction that the expansion of the universe should be accelerating thanks to the quantum vacuum energy that leads to an accelerated expansion of the universe. So in principle, everything fits in beautifully within the same framework. The only caveat is if I make a small back of the envelope estimation of the rate of accelerated expansion of the universe I should anticipate, thanks to this quantum vacuum energy, I get a rate of acceleration of the universe which is at least 36 orders of magnitude too large. And this is being conservative. So this means that if you take space between any two of you, this quantum vacuum energy would stretch space between the two of you so fast that you would see each other flying away from each other faster than the speed of light. So you wouldn't need to listen to me anymore. You'd be free to go. You'd be a little bit alone. And we wouldn't quite exist either. The universe would look very, very different. So now, I'm not an observer. I'm doing theory, but that to me sounds wrong. And so, in fact, the real question is not why is the universe accelerating? The real question is why is the universe not accelerating way, 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 way faster? This is the biggest discrepancy in the whole history of science. This is the biggest discrepancy in the whole history of humanity. And so faced with this biggest discrepancy, what sometimes the approach has been is to simply ignore the elephant in the room and decide that this problem is way, way too big, way, way too challenging for us to tackle it. So instead, let me assume that for a reason or another, this quantum vacuum energy or this cosmological constant is to be ignored. And instead, decide that we need to have a new form of energy to describe the late-term acceleration of the universe. I'm just going to pull out of my pocket some new kind of dark energy that explains all our observations.
To continue watching this video, click the link in the top left or in the description below.
With a free trial, you can enjoy the full talk and thousands more.
Thank you for being part of the conversation.